I just found a smoking gun of lying real estate statistics. Let's talk about that.
You are about to hear the opinions, suggestions, and observations of a licensed real estate broker in California. Since each situation can be unique, do not consider anything said here as legal advice for your specific needs. Always seek out the advice of a suitable professional in your area for advice tailored to your situation. Please remember that when following advice, your results may vary. Please also understand that the information provided here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the speaker considers important.
What do you seem to understand? I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me!
Hello, everyone. And welcome once again to Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. My name's Robert Whitelaw, and I am the Rebel Broker. Licensed real estate broker in the state of California. Member of the National Association of Realtors, but as always, please do not hold that against me. Here we are again, folks, and this time we're trying to shine the light of truth into the darkest of corners. It's an interesting show tonight. It definitely demonstrates how manipulated so much of what we get to hear relating to real estate is by folks who have a vested interest in things leaning one way or the other. And welcome to the show. If you'd like to check in with me, maybe offer a suggestion for what we ought to cover on the show, share with me things about real estate that scare you most, maybe head on over and subscribe to the show in iTunes and write a review. That would be fantastic. You can find all the links you need over at www.therebelbroker.com. Still working on the whole securing of my RSS feed. So I've got a couple of shows lined up that I want to do, but I want to wait till I'm fully independent. Those will have to wait. There's one subject that was actually the very first show I ever did. It was the very first article I ever wrote. It was basically it was the instigating reason why I started doing this. And it was one of the first things that frustrated me the most about this business. And like I said, I did do a show on it, but I did it in January of 2007. So no one's been able to get at it since then. So I'm going to do basically that show plus what I've learned over the years since then and how I was just as right then as I am now, but it's just worse. So hold on for that one. That'll probably be the premiere show when I am fully independent from BTR, when I have finally managed to kiss them goodbye and save my RSS feed from them. There needs to be an event. I feel like I need to have some sort of something when that happens, when I'm finally able to cut loose and get that thing back. I don't know. Maybe I need to invite some friends over and we have a good time. But so there won't be anything horribly surprising, I think, for those of you who listen to this show and kind of know my take on things. You know, it's one of those things where everybody who has a vested interest, if they've got a dog in the race, right, it's one of those things where people just tend to want to make things sound however they need to sound for them to get as much benefit from it. So it's about molding opinion so that you're hopefully then affecting that response on the part of the public, right? If you say things are fantastic and all these things are wonderful, maybe the folks who hear that will think, well, gosh, this is the time for me to buy. And of course, because they are my favorite organization that I have to give money to, this data comes from the National Association of Realtors. For those of you who've been long-term listeners to the show, you know that they are one of my favorite punching bags because they so regularly fall into this warm, cozy little sleeping bag of statistical deceit that really helps to create this misdirected belief that everything's hunky-dory. And I've covered before why they have a vested interest in doing that. They make money by having lots of real estate agents. paying their dues. The only way to have people convinced that real estate is the business to be in is to have good news about real estate and to constantly talk about whatever time it currently is, it's the best time to be in real estate because of boomerang buyers who are all just going to come back in truckloads, and because interest rates are fantastic, and because, and because, and because, and because. But there are several pieces of data that have come out. This is one of those cases where Zero Hedge also did an article on this. And absolutely no tinfoil hat is required. This is not what Zero Hedge says. This is simply them plotting the numbers on a graph, which I'll be sharing at the site. So for those of you who are relatively new to the show, one of the goals of striking out on my own again with the show and not hosting it through BTR was to embrace the idea of enhanced podcasts. And for those of you listening on iPhones, on Apple devices, apparently this stuff will work. But I have a ton of listeners who are not on iPhones, so in or on any Apple device. So from here on out, when I do reference a table or a chart or anything like that, if you head on over to therebelbroker.com, I'm going to include those as images posted with the audio of the show just so you can come over and take a look at it if you like. And I'll also include links to the original material that I referenced during the show so you can kind of form your own opinions. And as a result of that, one thing I'm going to do less is worry about covering what article I'm reading from, or because I'm heavy into attribution, right? In the show, I want to make sure you know where I'm getting this stuff. But since I'm going to be including those links in the posts with the show, I'm going to stop doing that in the show itself. So if you're really hot to track down those links and those pages I'm looking at, you'll be able to find those in the online version at therebelbroker.com. Now, what's interesting about this is we can sort of say it with one line, and then I want everyone to pause for a moment and think about what these three different pieces of information mean. First, mortgage applications are down overall. Okay? Fewer people are applying for loans to buy a house. Right? Cash sales are at the lowest since mid-2008. So that makes up all buyers, right? Buyers either pay all cash or they get a loan of some kind, which would generate data on a mortgage application being drawn up, right? Existing home sales have risen for 3 months in a row. Now, this is where I want you to kick your brains into gear, put on those thinking caps, and try to figure out how that's possible. Mortgage apps are down. The number of people applying for a loan are down. The number of people buying with all the cash, lowest since 2008. But National Association of Realtors is reporting a rise in home sales. How is that possible? With fewer mortgages being requested or being the paperwork being filled out for them, with fewer people out there buying with cash, that represents an overall shrinking in the number of buyers. Yet there was an increase in home sales. So what does this kind of stuff? Well, it's about extrapolation and seasonal adjustments and other things that these organizations do to massage data to make it sound better. So let's – and I'll be plot. There's a great chart that I'll be posting that basically charts existing home sales with mortgage apps. And right around June, April, May of 2013 and on till now, they are the two lines are completely out of sync. The existing home sales and mortgage apps are completely out of sync. They are in sync in 2011, and at least as far back as this chart goes, 2011 and 2012, completely in sync. And then right around the beginning of 2013, they completely disconnect from each other. Existing home sales continue to go up, but mortgage apps declines in cases where existing home sales goes up right up until December of 2014. Then there's a little bit of a jump, but still coming nowhere near existing home sales, and then dropping again as we proceed on into 2015. Now, what's interesting about this chart is that it absolutely sheds some light on what we've been talking about for the last year and a half to 2 years. You'd hear these things about existing home sales. You'd hear all these various things in terms of volume of sales, that type of thing, and people talking about the robustness of the market, but something just didn't feel right. And we talked about a lot of different ways that it doesn't feel right. This doesn't tell us or educate us on why this is, but it sure does tell us that the popular data that is passed, that's passed around is not telling us the whole picture. Now, if you want to see this chart, head on over to therebelbroker.com. I'll have the graphic posted there, plus I'll have links to where I got it originally. But we need to sort of take a step back and think in terms of, okay, there's absolutely no doubt that if this data is correct, and it comes from the National Association of Realtors, this isn't made up stuff. It's simply them massaging data to extrapolate and to seasonally adjust. And yet it somehow paints this picture that can't exist, right? It's like saying we have an increase in our water supply, but it didn't rain, kind of a thing. Two things that are contradictory to one another. So what needs to be our strategy here? I mean, one way we try to make our decisions is by making educated decisions based on what numbers are telling us. Now, what's interesting is in my particular marketplace, we're still seeing property values tending to go up. The sales overall were dominated by increases in the West and the South, with the Northeast falling. And the only question we need to answer is, where are these buyers coming from, and how long can this little puppet show last before something really bad happens, or before? I mean, what's really interesting is that this seems to be an intentional act to mask something not good going on in the marketplace. Well, what is that? What are the things that we aren't being told based on what the actual numbers are? Because the conclusions they're coming to just don't make sense. They contradict one another. But for a second, let's step back and look at the pitch the National Association of Realtors made. Now, their pitch was existing home sales rise for the third month in a row, right? One thing we know is that we have exceptionally low inventories, and prices are rising in the vast majority of metro markets. Now, according to the data the National Association of Realtors released, total existing home sales, and that's completed transactions, which includes single-family homes, condominiums, townhomes, and co-ops, increased 2% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 5.59 million in July, from a revised 5.48 million in June. Sales in July were still at the highest pace since February of 2007, have now increased year over year for 10 consecutive months, and are 10.3% above a year ago, 5.07 million. Everyone talks about how this is an indicator of a consistent improvement in sales and prices. One caution that they offer from Trulia is the upcoming Fed meeting in September has led to a lot of speculation as to whether rates will rise, which may impact consumer confidence in the housing market in the coming months. So what's the story that's being woven in the popular media? In the story that the National Association of Realtors and Trulia and these other folks, in the stories that are being woven and what they want everyone to hear, what's the narrative? Well, it sounds like they're trying to, in the near term, generate more buyers, right? They're trying to convince people that there's all this stuff going on, and that there's likely bad things coming to that will negatively affect your ability to buy. It feels a little bit, and this is, we're totally wandering into guess territory here. I'm just trying to figure out, when you've got data that's so contradictory, that indicates someone's creating a narrative because they want to tell a story. Well, so I'm trying to figure out what's the story they're trying to tell, and what is it they want to have happen as a result of that story. They go on to say at Trulia, even if Americans start to question whether now is a good time to sell or buy, the truth is if rates rise, the increase will likely be modest and gradual. In fact, mortgage rates would need to exceed 11% before renting becomes cheaper than buying a home nationally. Let's see. She went on to say that much of the growth in existing home sales that we're seeing is in the luxury market. That's because most sales are happening in markets where the job market is robust. But remember, this is coming from the Trulia folks, so it may not be directly in line with what the NAR folks are saying. My best buddy, Lawrence Yun, over at the National Association of Realtors, who's their chief economist, one of my favorite guys to slap around because he is a – From all signs, a master manipulator of data, or at least somebody who's always willing to bang the "it's always good news" drum. Now, he says the increase in sales in July solidifies what has been an impressive growth in activity during this year's peak buying season. Quote, "The creation of jobs added at a steady clip and the prospect of higher mortgage rates and home prices down the road is encouraging more households to buy now," he says. "As a result, current homeowners are using their increasing housing equity towards the down payment on their next purchase." So the narrative is to create more volume. They want to get more homes sold. They want to say this is the time to do it. We've got a Fed who's likely going to raise interest rates soon, which isn't going to happen. We've talked about that on this show. I think we even covered it a couple of times just in the last few weeks. They will not raise rates before the election. I am more and more convinced of that every day. I may have waffled a few months ago on it or even a month or so ago, but it just seems more and more likely that that's exactly what's going to happen. Did he say anything else sexy, or was that it? There's a couple more pieces of data here that might be helpful. Median existing home prices for all housing types in July, was $234,000, which is 5.6% above July of 2014. July's price increases marks the 41st consecutive month of year-over-year gains. I like the quotes from Yun because those are typically pretty funny. Another quote from the chief economist of the National Association of Realtors: "Despite the strong growth in sales since the spring, declining affordability could begin to slowly dampen demand. Realtors in some markets reported slower foot traffic in July, in part because of low inventory and concerns about the continued rise in home prices without commensurate income gains. Inventory at the end of July declined 0.4%. It's now 4.7% lower than a year ago. So inventory is down from last year. Unsold inventory is at a 4.8-month supply, down from 4.9 months. First home buyers declined in July for the second consecutive month, falling from 30% to 28%. The lowest share since January of this year, which was also 28%. A year ago, first-time buyers represented 29% of all buyers. So what's the, we can always sort of lean towards whatever the self-serving narrative is. It's always interesting to sort of weave this with what the political narrative is as it relates. And in a lot of ways, what's being said politically about the housing market is identical to what's being said by the National Association of Realtors. But in general, the government tends to just tell us it's a rosy, wonderful thing that's happening and they've succeeded in saving the real estate market. But we just don't see the signs of strength that underpin a healthy real estate market. This data alone should cause everybody to wrinkle their nose at the least and take a quick sniff to see if there isn't a hint of funk on all this, because it just doesn't look right. I love to be the guy who is able to tie all this stuff together. We've done it tons of times on this show and gotten pretty close to the mark, but I'm really torn on this one. I don't know if someone's trying to lead us to just more buyers buying, even though there's no more inventory, even though there's less inventory. I don't know, but it sure does seem like they're trying to build up a frenzy. But what's weird is the frenzy, the discussions about it seem to be aimed at the buyer mindset as opposed to the seller mindset. Because what the market needs now is more people selling. We need to convince more sellers to put their homes on the market, or more homeowners to put their homes on the market. And that doesn't seem to be the angle that they're taking on it. Now, maybe there is no – I'm not suggesting that there's some grand plan. I think the biggest suggestion I've made is that all of these organizations act in self-interest, which is pretty reasonable. But when you look at the political side of it, it usually takes on another dimension. They're usually wanting things to happen in a certain way because they're looking to push something else in the agenda that maybe in general isn't a very well-loved thing if they're trying to get or they simply honestly believe that their involvement always makes things better. You know, I suppose that's one way of looking at this. But everything is being propped up for us to believe all that, to believe that everything's better, to believe that there's a healthy relationship going on between the number of homes that are selling and the number of folks who are buying in cash and getting mortgages. That's not what's happening. I want to know how this is supposed to be true, because it can't be true. The statistics don't line up. So what they've done in doing this seasonally adjusted stuff is actually created out of whole cloth what looks like millions of sales that aren't there. Now, what if the narrative reflected reality? What if we just took the number of mortgages that were written and the number of folks buying in cash, which should add up the total number of people buying a house or be really, really close? What would be the general public reaction to this idea that sales are not what they're being reported as, right? And you'd think, well, how can people do that to statistics? Well, they do it all the time. Labor statistics are a perfect example where they make things sound better by indicating fewer people are part of the workforce. They simply stop counting unemployed people by declaring them out of the workforce. They do a lot of cool adjustments to it. And there's several different unemployment numbers. But if you look at the one that tends to be more raw numbers, more realistic, you know, unemployment tends to be closer to 10% or higher than 5% or 6%. So all of these things get manipulated. All of these things get massaged for our consumption. But what does that translate into for you as a buyer? I'm actually pretty convinced that in most of all the markets where we've seen the most growth in prices, and particularly and this is particularly true in areas where you're inventory challenged, where there's just not enough inventory for the number of people who are out there buying. And many of the areas that I'm working in here are that. I'm having a hard time suggesting folks buy a house. You know, I got this question today from somebody. Someone was saying, well, what do you think? What would you do right now? And they asked, well, what would be the motivation to purchase a home right now? So given this data, given the fact we're clearly being misled by statistics, if we boil it down to the primary reason why anyone should buy, in my opinion, it is simply to lock in your cost of housing. If these numbers are what we think they are in terms of the level of deception that's going on, and with everything else that's going on I've almost had a couple of shows where we talked about the Chinese economy and what's going on there and why we need to be worried about it. You know, they've reduced the value of the yuan, which is the Chinese currency, several times now, which is really bad. It's been described by some economists as currency warfare. And in that war, we are the enemy. Anything that China does to its currency really screws us up. And particularly screws up our corporations. If you want to see the truth in that, a huge reason why we're having so much trouble with the stock market right now, and there's tons of reasons why we have problems with the stock market, but one of the biggest ones right now is the devaluation of the yuan. I've mentioned before, for instance, that I own some Apple stock. Well, of course, Apple is profoundly negatively affected by a drop in the value of yuan, and that's why their stock has dropped all the way down. I think as of today, it was 112 a share, down from 130. So lost over $15 worth of value just since less than a month ago. So these are all big deals. And remember, so much of this is linked. The international money markets, the international currency exchanges, the international things that go on in trade, when you change the value of something like that, it has dramatic effects. So I guess my point, which I'm coming to in a roundabout way, is when you see this blatant of a misrepresentation of the way things are through statistics, you start to wonder where else this is happening. Because it turns into a psychological game, and this happened a little bit last time. And it was less subtle. I mean, you had all the political types standing up and saying everything's fine. You had folks pointing to statistics that were goofy as all get out and massaged more than Kobe beef to give us the impression that everything was actually okay. This was just a small blip, not a big deal. The real estate market is not in trouble. We had people saying that right up while it was just falling down into the bottomless chasm that we had to try to rescue it from. So why do I think it was worth doing a show about just kind of exploring some of these deceptive statistics? I think this may be some of the early signs of really bad stuff. And I know that's one of those crazy tinfoil hat kind of things, but this – and I'm going to try to get more backup for this and give you all more things you can look at to decide for yourself if this makes sense. But I tell you, this feels so much like the months leading up to the last downturn that I can't really help but think we may be on a very parallel path to that. So – I guess that the thing is to analyze where you are. What's your position? Do you really feel the need to lock in your housing prices? And so as I was saying earlier, this person asked me, why would I thought the main reason would be? And I'd say to lock in your costs for a roof. Because there's no telling what the cost of other things will do in response to some other really big currency problem or economic problem. And for me, the way to do that is to open up the door to any kind of property where you can do that. So it may be a condo, it may be a townhouse, maybe it's not a single family residential home. But in this marketplace, if you can lock in and freeze your housing costs for an extended period of time, maybe you can't do any of those things. But maybe what you can do is use a lease option. See my show from 2 weeks ago on lease options. Lock in your rent for at least an extended period of time using a lease option as a tool to do that so that you can at least protect yourself from any really bad stuff that happens. I say this stuff and I think, God, I'm gonna sound like a nut. But I think I would look at this as we've clearly got indications that the statistics are being manipulated to give us the absolute rosiest picture possible. And to one degree or another in the past, that's always been true. But I've never seen such a huge disparity in numbers. At least I haven't seen it since just before the last time, which I think it's natural for me to react with a little bit of caution when I'm seeing the exact same kind of stupidity happening again. Last time you could point to a lot of subprime lending. We're not seeing the aggressive subprime lending that really makes me worry yet. So I'm not sure what corner it's going to come from. I honestly don't think that the next big downturn is going to come directly from real estate. Last time it came directly from real estate. But I think we're built on such shaky ground right now in terms of the quote-unquote recovery in real estate that other external factors are what are going to put the stressors on the real estate market and bring it down. Everything started with real estate before. It started with subprime lending. It started with all that craziness and built up over the course of years. In this case, the cure, right? So TARP and all these various things where we printed up trillions of dollars and increased the national debt and all these crazy things that we did by increasing the debt by orders of magnitude and by putting all this money out in the world. And now China not buying our bonds anymore, for instance. Only Japan is buying our bonds, and they're in as bad a hole as we are, in many ways a lot worse. So none of this is good. None of this feels right. None of this feels good. None of this feels like we should all be warm and fuzzy about what's coming down the pike. If anything, we should be preparing ourselves to weather a difficult financial time. And I think one smart way to do that is to lock in your housing prices. And if that means going with a property that I would normally never suggest you buy, I am not a big condo guy in terms of if you're trying to guard the value of your property. But in this case, I'm far more interested in just getting a place you can live where you know that your monthly payment will not go up. Now, your HOA fees may go up from time to time, but that'll be a much smaller value or dollar amount than it would be in if you were renting from someone. So I hope that helps in some way. I kind of feel like I've only rained on the parade here without offering any solid suggestions on how to fight it. I think at this point, there's no fighting bad stuff. There's simply preparing for it. And that's kind of where we are. That's where we find ourselves. There's nothing else I can offer you. There's no magic bullet to or magic immunization to protect us from what's coming. The only way you can do it is to prepare, right? We know we get insurance for floods. We get insurance for our cars, for accidents. We hope that it never happens, but we prepare for the possibility by continuing to make those payments. In this case, it's not as simple as hiring an insurance company to potentially back us up if whatever costs come our way. It's about making sure that you're ready to weather a bad time financially and just through the basics of life, provide for you and your family if the time comes. So hey, there's that good news. You know, I do appreciate you all listening to what I have to say on all of these various topics. If you'd like to get in contact with me, head on over to www.therebelbroker.com. You can follow me on my Twitter feed. You can find me on Reddit. You can find me on our Facebook page. I've also created a Google Plus community, so feel free to head over there. And, of course, subscribe and review the show in iTunes. That would dramatically help me continue to be able to offer you free information, free insights via the show. We got to get the show on a paying basis. I've never been someone who ever promoted the show in a way that, you know, I never advertised the show. I never asked y'all to review it. I never did anything because it was really just me doing this completely on the side. It was something that I just did there really to sort of vent. But now I want to turn it into something that I can grow, something that I can dedicate my time to and use as a tool to directly communicate to as many people as possible and help them reach their goals, all without the need for you to pay me for the show or to pay me for the information that I'm providing. But just you subscribing and giving reviews and all of those wonderful things will help me be able to turn this into something where it allows me to dedicate far more time to developing the information and tools and supplements that you may find useful in achieving your goals in real estate and in anything else. So I thank you again for your support. It's great. A lot of you have been fantastic. So head on over to www.therebelbroker.com for any connections you want to make, and I will talk to you tomorrow.